Freedom Through Grace Bible Study Lesson Number 9, June the 12th, 2012. It may seem strange to some of you that we're dealing with creation doctrine and related to freedom, but the issue is you have to understand that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, that are everything that we have, sinners, in the person of God and God's grace, as the Creator God, He made possible things that include our personal freedom, including our national freedom, the hopes and dreams that you have for your children or your grandchildren should the rapture of the church not occur. Everything that we have is centered in the person of God and in His grace. This is the day which the Lord has made. Scripture tells us, rejoice and be glad in it. Before we begin, let's pause for solid prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit. You have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we pray that this Bible study will be of spiritual value to each one who listens to it. We pray that the Bible doctrine it contains will help each one to develop constant, consistent soul stability in the chaotic world in which we now live. We pray that they will consistently study the Word of God. We desire for each one of these believers to seek to study the Word on a daily basis to make it the norm and standard for daily living. Father, we ask for the Spirit to guide each one of them and protect them from the influence of religious humanism and secular humanism, both of which seek human solutions to the problems that require divine solutions. Father, we ask that each one will be motivated to fulfill their spiritual life destiny as a holy royal priest in Christ's kingdom of priests, as a royal ambassador in Christ's diplomatic corps, as a royal soldier in Christ's army. May each one of them obtain the spiritual knowledge to be able to share the gospel with the unsaved, Bible doctrine with other believers, and make daily decisions that will have historical impact in the spiritual warfare and the angelic conflict. We desire for each one of them to be a faithful servant of Christ and not to be simply a game-playing Christian. Father, we ask for you to have mercy upon our nation. Give us time for the Spirit to provide a spiritual revival among believers so that the redeemed in our country can become a true pivot, a solid pivot once again, of salt for the preservation of our nation in the midst of temporal living and light in the midst of the cosmic darkness for the salvation of others. We confess that our generation has failed the test of sustaining the Word of God and a major influence upon the rulers of our nation. We confess that our generation became so involved in material life prosperity that we failed to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. We confess that many of our local churches are entertainment centers and not classrooms for Bible teaching and true worship of God. We confess that the failure to keep Christ before the nation and your word as the basis for our standard of living has produced a generation of young people, many of whom have little or no real understanding of the Word of God. Father, we confess that we can clearly see the result of this in a rise in crime and violence in the streets of our nation, in the expansion of mind-altering drug addiction, sexual degeneracy, and suicide, when things don't go the way that we want them to go. We ask each one will be convicted of the need to reach out to the many believers suffering, encourage them to become Christ-centered. They can pass the trials and tests and bring glory to God. Sanctify and bless this teaching now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit brooded upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness in the evening and the morning, or the first day. We saw in the last class, the time came to restore the earth to a habitable condition. God began by reversing the process He took to make it uninhabitable. The Spirit of God brooded as incubated over the watery waste, and God said, let there be light. Light was not created on that day, as we pointed out to you, but because the word bara for created is not used, let there be light, just one might say, turn on the lights. This darkness was not the sunlight. The clouds did not break away and permit the sun to shine on the earth. That did not happen until the fourth day. The light was probably electric light, similar to the aurora borealis, or the northern lights. As God brought light in, it was on the second day that he would form the firmament. Now, this is all very important to us in the relationship of freedom, because God created fixed laws. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he created the heavens, the third heaven was created first, because it became the abode for God in relationship to creation in the area of the spirit world, angelic beings, spirit creatures, beings, angelic creatures. And then he created the universe. Third heaven is outside the universe. God is when God created Genesis chapter 1, we have latent within it God's natural laws, all of the divine establishment, temporal living in the material world in the area of creation law. We have, first of all, space. Third heaven was a place of space. The universe is a place of space. Time, as we think of time, 24-hour day is related to the planet Earth and what it was doing in there. But we must understand that God is infinite. All creation is placed within the finite. Therefore, what God did was he created space and time. Chronological time began with the issuance of the divine decree, the signing of the covenant between the Father and the Son, the eternal life conference. We use the language of accommodation to explain. As the Father laid out his eternal plan of the ages, put it down his decreed will expressed in the divine decree. Most of you have had this all from me before. Those areas down there, let's begin chronological time to unfold. One step at a time. God created space, God created dimensions, God created the law of physics. Many laws went into effect with the creation of the heavens and the earth. But then when we have here before us is the laws that relate to restoration. Now what does this relate to you and I? When John 8:30-32, God said this, and he spoke these words, and he believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word that you are my disciple, indeed you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've given you the definition. The laws of the divine establishment for temporal living in the material world were designed and implemented by God the Father to provide orders within creation. They consist of Codex 1, creation, natural scientific law, Codex 2, physical, human, biological law, Codex 3, soul, human, psychological law, Codex 4, individuality, human, personal freedom law, Codex 5, marriage, one man, one woman, and unity law, Codex 6, family, husband, wife, children, and unity law. Codex 7, separate national entity, society, and unity law. The Father's design, specific, distinct responsibilities to each of the four laws, individuality law, marriage law, family law, and separate national entity law, to provide a balance within the Adamic human race. When each one is functioning correctly, history shows that the personal freedom does not manifest itself through anarchy, and the nation does not manifest itself through tyranny. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Psalm 76:10. As the Creator God, the Father is the author and the designer of all creation. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. Reading from the NASB. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Psalm 89:11. heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all it and it contains, you have founded them. Verse 12, the north and the south you have created them. Tabor and Hermon shout for joy at your name. God's praises, God is praised for his attributes in Psalm 89, 5 to 14, and his works particularly in creation in verses 10 to 14. You can look up for yourself Psalm 102, 25, 136, 5, 146, 6, Isaiah 40, 21, 44, 24, Jeremiah 10, 12, 51, 15, Zechariah 12, 1, Acts 14, 15, 17, 21, Hebrews 11, 3, Revelation 4, 11, 10, 6. The Son, who is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, John 1, 1 and 2 and 14, was the Father's agent, active agent in creation, John 1, 3. In the beginning, John 1, 1 was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was anything made that was made. We've also given you Colossians 1, 16 and 17 for this, and Hebrews 1, 10. In conjunction with the Son, the Holy Spirit was also an active agent in creation, Psalm 33:6, which we just read to you. Psalm 104:30. You sent forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renewed the face of the ground. Because God is perfect, Psalm 18:30 teaches that God is perfect. As for God, his way is blameless, the word of the Lord is tried, he is a shield to all who take refuge in him. All of original creation was created perfect in all its ways, Isaiah 45. 18. For thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place. It cannot be denied that since his perfection, he is perfect, all his laws, spiritual and temporal, are also perfect. Psalm 19:7. He created all things perfect. This means that all the laws that he set into effect found in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, related to natural creation, related to physical body law, and the soul law first, and the physical body law would also be perfect. Laws he introduced related to individuality in Genesis chapter 2, following the creation of the physical body of Adam. The laws of marriage, when he brought Eve into it, these were all established to be perfect law. Man is imperfect. God's law is perfect. Psalm chapter 18, verse 30, we read, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. So we find God is perfect, so all of original creation is created perfect. Isaiah 45, 18, which we just read to you. It cannot be denied that since he is perfect, all the law, spiritual, and temporal are perfect. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Any problems that exist between the Adamic human race as God's laws of divine establishment for temporal living in the material world are the result of Adam's original sin, Genesis 2:17. Any problem exists between the Adamic human race and God's laws of divine establishment for temporal living in the material world, the result of Adam's original sin, in Genesis 2:17. God told Adam, "But from the tree of the garden, knowledge of good and evil you shall eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." From the Hebrew we know it should be translated, "Dying thou shalt surely die." Spiritual death came first, physical death came 930 years later. Now, we put that which is literally doing this with chapter 3. Verses 1-7. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Indeed, that God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it, or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Sin brought judgment as a result of Adam passing through his genes, his sinful nature, to all of his offspring, Genesis 5:3. Adam was created in the image of God. In Genesis 5:3, we find that we are born in the image of our parents. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of his son in his own likeness, according to his own image, and named him Seth. Adam's image included the nature of corruption, the old sin nature. Passed down, Psalm 51:5 tells us that the genes of the male for each generation. Behold, I am brought forth in iniquity and in sin. My mother conceived me. His original sin was imputed to his entire prodigy. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "In Adam all die." 1 Corinthians 15:22a. Christ, all are made alive, represents those that believe in Christ are redeemed and become alive. Adam's original sin we inherited, and with it came the imputed sin of Adam, applied to our nature of corruption, and we immediately became spiritually dead. God imputed original sin to the gene, the nature of corruption that polluted within the gene of the human body and pollutes every cell of the human body at the moment of our conception. So we were born, we were conceived. I was conceived in iniquity and born in sin. We were under the judgment of God. Wherefore, it says in Romans 5:12, "As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The original sin was imputed to us. Every member of the Adamic human race is born with a nature of corruption. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And therefore possess positional total depravity. Romans 1:18-25, I'll let you look it up. We've dealt with this many times. Unchecked human depravity produces immoral degeneracy. Romans 1:16-32, moral degeneracy. Romans 2:1-16, and religious degeneracy. Romans 2:17-29. Now the Father has not abrogated his sovereignty. Ruled over creation. Look at Psalm 103:19. Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. And that's an ASV translation. Exodus 18:11. Now know that the Lord is great, greater than all the gods. Indeed, it is proven when they dealt proudly against the people. The gods of the false gods of the fallen angelic world that is worshipped by paganism. And paganism still exists today and is around us. People think we are a modern cultural world, but it's still here. Psalm 11, verse 4. Many of them call themselves atheists today, and instead of being just simply passive atheists, they're becoming violent atheists in their hatred for all the things of God. The Lord in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold his eyelids tests the sons of man. Psalm 47:2, as God sits observing what goes on around us in this world system. God takes everything into consideration. God is omniscient, all-knowing. God is omnipresent, all things laid bare before him at all times. God is immutable, unchangeable. He is perfect righteousness, perfect justice, perfect love. But his attributes are so interlocked that one cannot negate another one. They work together in perfect harmony. Psalm 47, verse 2 says, "For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth." God is ruling over this earth. Daniel 4, 17, 25, and 34 and 35 teach us that God raises up kings and puts the basis of men over us. The next election in this country will be based upon who God casts the vote for. His permissive will, he would let us reap what we sow. This is why it's important to lay the groundwork we have so we can come to understand what's going on. In accord with God's overruling will, the Father intervenes in history when necessary to keep the Adamic human race from going beyond certain divine limitations, and that's Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain, the overruling will of God. The laws of divine establishment for temporal living in the material world were designed to keep limitations on sin and evil, therefore prevent the human race from self-destruction. God means all, holds all men accountable. Romans 14:10 tells us, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, representing believers. And Revelation 20:11-15 makes it clear that all unbelievers are going to appear also before the judgment seat, before the white throne judgment, and give their account to God. We'll all be held accountable to God. And you must understand that God has established a system of power and laid it down. The law of the constancy of organismic power, which you've heard from me before. The definition, any age, the amount of power in a state system is constant. If any one organic unit is diminished in power, another unit or other units are increased in power by the same amount. Francis Parker Yockey, on the name Ulick Varange, in Imperium, 1948. Now, God has placed limitations of power and controls out there for the world, for man to function under. And the only way we're going to believe it, the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. We're going to have to look to the word of God to find these things out and to believe absolutes upon him. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, or Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11. Makes clear to us that the issue in faith will begin with us as believers. If we're going to depend upon God for everything, to have faith in God's creation law and what God has established. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are invisible. All of the ages have been prepared, the chronological ages in which we live. This refers to the preparation of all that the successive periods of time could contain. Faith is described in the great verse as the assurance to reality in verse 1. Same word translated nature in Hebrews 1:3 of things hoped for conviction, as in John 16:18 of things not seen. Faith gives reality and proof of things unseen, treating them as if they were already objects of sight rather than of hope. But if we're going to approach God this way, Hebrews 11:6, by faith, it's impossible to please him. And they that come to God must believe that he is, and he is a reward of those who diligently seek him. To please God, one must believe in the true God, not a God exists, and that God is a rewarder. We approach the Father, we have to understand his fixed concepts, and this is what brings us down to an important with this creation law, to see how God has set and fixed everything in a clear and concise way for us to understand. We have introduced the law of the solar day. A day consists of 24 hours with time divided into light and dark, one earth revolution with regard to the sun. The 24-hour day as we know it, the 365-day year, is set upon the solar system concept that God put into existence as it relates to the planet Earth, not to all of creation, but to the planet Earth. God has fixed laws in creation that relate to this Earth, and this is what we're dealing with. In verse 5, we're going to see the law of the alternating light and darkness. Day is governed by light from the sun, while night is governed by darkness, minus the sun. But first we come to the point of God's creation of the atmosphere on the second day. Now, God in his work is creating accordingly. We come down to great work of God and what he was doing, the atmosphere of the second day. God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now I believe that we have the pattern of God's creation found, original creation found in the restoration here in Revelation, in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the restoration of the earth. Actually, the bottom of verse 2, when the Holy Spirit incubated upon the earth and melted the ice back. The fact that the firmament is called heaven, and by the word heaven, we understand our atmosphere, implies that the chaotic earth had no atmosphere, or that it was not adapted to the formation of clouds in the form of vapor, which support water and this divide and separate the waters of the atmosphere from the waters of the earth. The second day's work then was the readjustment of the atmosphere to the needs of the present earth. This is, became the creation work of the second day. The word for firmament is RAQIJA. It refers to atmosphere and occasionally to the expanse of heaven beyond the atmosphere. It is used four ways in the Old Testament. It's translated transparent work of sapphire, Exodus 24:10. And they saw that God of Israel, and that was his feet, as it were, was paved, work of sapphire stone, as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Secondly, the sky is called a mirror, a molten-looking glass, Job 37:18. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and is molten-looking glass? Thirdly, this is described as a carpet spread over the earth, Isaiah 40:2. Speak, ye comfortable, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her. It is described as a curtain of gauze spread over the heavens, Psalm 104, verse 2. Who covers himself, thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. This presents the transparency of the atmosphere, illustrating the fact that the atmosphere is made up of gases. What we have here in Genesis chapter 1, for the surface of the earth, the upper waters would be stored upon the atmosphere. There would be no rainfall in the earth until after the flood of Noah's day. There was a canopy of heavy water vapor in the air above us. During the period before the flood, all moisture would be provided by a system of evaporation. Most of the waters from the flood would come from below the earth. The earth's surface could not have been covered with water in just 40 days of rainfall, and vast amounts had not poured forth from the depths of the earth at the same time. Water would come from underneath the earth, and water would come as this whole cloud vapor atmosphere that separated us from the atmosphere of the earth would be dumped down upon it. I recognize the fact that we see rain falling in 6 inches or 2 inches, or out in Washington where I live, they measure it in hundredths of an inch, which is usually desert temperature, because they get what they call rain a lot of times is mist out here, or drizzle down south or Midwest, where we used to have those old-fashioned cloud busters. I remember them well, with the lightning flashing and the thunder roaring and the rain pouring down so thick you had to pull off the side of the road sometime. You couldn't drive in it because you'd hide your plane. Now, the band of atmosphere around the earth, which the Father had provided on day two, is vital to human, animal, and plant existence. We could not have life without it. The moon, which is a satellite, is a dead world because it has no atmosphere. The band of atmosphere around the earth is composed of a mixture of gases, in a more or less stabilized form. We have oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, helium, neon, and others. We call this air. The Bible calls it atmosphere. The composition of the air or atmosphere changes with regards to the amount of moisture and the amount of carbon dioxide, but the other components remain constant. Atmosphere has an important effect on our climate, radiation, weather, and even our comfort. The relationship between water and atmosphere is very important. Winds are a part of the atmosphere and was created with it. On the second day, God originally established a perfect balance between these things. When God made the firmament and divided the water which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so, Genesis 1:7. God manufactured the atmosphere. This is the Son doing the work in creation, following the plan of the Father, Elohim the Son, the creator of the plan of Elohim the Father. We come down to verse 6 and read then, and God, Elohim, said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. We have two things. Elohim, the triune Godhead, is latent in it, so God the Father, Elohim, represented in there, says to God the Son, create the atmosphere. And God the Son said, let there be atmosphere. No time elapsed. The Son manufactured the atmosphere instantaneously upon the Father's command. The word made is the Kal imperfect of Asah, E-S-A-H, indicating that the atmosphere was manufactured out of already existing material and divided literally. He caused it to separate. And it was so. This is a Hebrew idiom meaning that something previously described was done, and so it came to pass. So atmosphere translation reads, Elohim the Son, Elohim, the person of God the Son, manufactured the atmosphere out of the already existing material and caused it to separate between the waters under the atmosphere and between the waters above the atmosphere, and so it came to pass as previously described. God the Elohim, God the Father commanded, God the Son executed. And verse 8 says, "And God called the firmament heaven in the evening and the morning, or the second day," Genesis 1:8. Again, we have Kara, Q-A-R-A, which means that he provided nomenclature, vocabulary, a system for technical and categorical thinking. God the Father designed the atmosphere of the heaven. It became evening, getting darker, and it became dawn, getting lighter. We have day two. All right, thus far in Genesis chapter 1, we could give you a doctrinal translation. In the beginning, which was out beginning, that is the dispensation of triune Godhead, also known as Alpha, pre-creation eternity, became the point of the divine decree. Elohim, the Son, created the third heaven and the entire universe and the planet Earth out of nothing by the command of the Father. That would be the way to doctrinally expand it. But the Earth had become, you understand, a doctrinally expanded translation, not a literal translation. It's simply a way to explain to you all the doctrines in the verse that's important to you. But the Earth became desolate and empty, with darkness on the face of the raging waters that were frozen in the ice, turning the earth into an ice-covered world. And the Spirit of God radiated heat, producing melted waters. Genesis 1:2. And Elohim the Father said, "Light be." Elohim the Son caused the light to be. And Elohim saw the light was good, and Elohim caused to separate between the light and between the darkness. Elohim called the light day, but the darkness he called night. So began the evening getting dark, and it was becoming in dawn getting lighter. This was day one. And Elohim the Father said, "Atmosphere be in the middle of the waters," and caused it to divide between the waters of the atmosphere and the waters above the atmosphere. And Elohim the Son manufactured the atmosphere out of already existing material and caused it to separate between the waters under the atmosphere, between the greater above the atmosphere. And so it came to pass, as previously decreed by the Father and described in Scripture. And Elohim called the atmosphere heaven. It began evening, getting dark, and it became dawn, getting lighter, day two. In two literal 24-hour days, God had prepared the earth for habitation. On day 3, 4, and 5, God would continue to make complete and perfect provisions for man. As man arrives on the scene on day 6, he will become the object of the Father's grace in turning the curse of the angelic conflict into the blessings of a perfect environment upon this earth. God's plan was set forth as such. So we have in verse 5, "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." We see the law of alternating light and darkness. And notice what we've got. We've got the law of, we've got the implication of all that, of all astronomy in verse 1, of all matter in verse 1. God created the heavens and the earth. The space, time, and the laws of physics are all latent in verse 1. In verse 3, we have the introduction of the law of the solar day, which is described throughout verses 3 to 31. The 24-hour day with time divided into light and dark periods. In verse 5, we have the law of alternating light and darkness pretty clearly seen. This is used to teach us the spiritual truth. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Establishment law typifies and points us, if we look at it correctly, to God. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament's handiwork, and can teach us as believers many things by analogy. Ephesians 5, 8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We lived in darkness until we were redeemed. When we were redeemed, we became the children of light. Now, in the ancient world, night was very dark because of the lack of light, and people stumbled over things which they would not have stumbled over in the daytime. You understand, they didn't have all the modern electricity and things to light in that day. Modern light systems typify God's law of light. And that's important for us to see. Without this law, there can be no light and darkness, because there would be no sun on Earth's revolutions. The law provides permission for the sun to brighten the Earth, which is round, but only on one side at a time. There's a limitations within light. In verses 6 to 8 there, when we see we just dealt with the creation of the firmament, we were introduced to here, very importantly, the law of moisture. The laws of God decreed that there would be moisture in the atmosphere. This atmosphere would be there because of another law which provides for evaporation and rain, the cycling of water over the earth. This moisture in the air, the firmament, becomes a filter for the removal of the dangerous qualities of gamma rays from the sun. We have here then an ongoing system of God creating law as his restoration. We see laws being introduced into where we're at down there. We come to the second work. The first work there then that we see on God said, this is simply when he said, let there be firmament. Brings us down to the third day. And the first work, the work of the third day, was twofold, the emergence of land from the sea and the reappearance of vegetable life, biotonical life upon the earth. And God said, that's Elohim, let the waters under the earth be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed within itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. The use of evening and morning may be held to limit the day to the solar day. Now, what we have in front of us here is very interesting, because the first work then was the reversal of the cataclysmic convulsions that submerged the pre-Adamic world Earth underwater and led to the freezing of the ice world. The upheaval caused the earth to emerge from its watery grave. God said, call this dry land earth, and together into the waters called these seas, and God saw that it was good. The second work seen in verses 10 then, is the bringing, or 11 to 13, is the bringing forth of botanical life on this day. This was not a creation, but a restoration, or a resurrection. The earth rises up out of the waters of the death, and seeds and the roots of plants and herbs and trees were called upon to germinate and sprout and grow, as it did before the catastrophe that submerged the pre-Adamic earth. If that catastrophe was what we know as the glacial period, and I believe that it was, the resurrection of plant life no more required a creative act than the vegetation does in the spring of the year after the winter is over. In fact, winter wheat needs the snow on the ground, the snowpack to cover it, so it can sprout in the spring. This being the case then, we see the expression, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. That is, the seed was already in the earth, having been buried by the waters that swept over the pre-Adamic earth, and being indestructible, it only needed the proper conditions to spring it up and cover the earth with verdure. This reveals the fact that the pre-Adamic earth was clothed with verdure, and covered with plants and trees like those of our present earth. Now in verses 9 and 10, I want you to think about, first of all, because they're important in connection to verses 11 to 13, we see the law of geography introduced. The laws of God decreed that there would be land and water on the face of the earth, and Christ designed the face of the earth with water. Look at Genesis 10:5. Hold the place here. Genesis 10:5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles dividing the lands, every one after his tongue, after his family, in their nations. God designed the waters to help create borders for his nations and places for the human race to live in accordance with his plan. Waters used to separate the nations of the earth. Under this law, there will always be an exact amount of land and water on the earth that is defined the law itself. Under spiritual powers, we will see, this law can be overruled and water can cover the entire planet as in the flood days of Noah. Genesis 9:8-9. Now, the whole principle that we have here, the law of God, and we have the law of agriculture, right? We've seen the law of geography. With that would come the law of topography, how the earth is shaped, the canyons, the valleys, the mountains, the hills. Everything is being done by God, and then the law of agriculture. The laws of God decreed that seeds would produce within a defined pattern of after their kind. When a person plants an apple seed, they'll get an apple tree, not an orange tree or a peach tree or a plum tree. Why? It is God's law of divine establishment in relationship to the material world here in the area. What is being created for botanical life? Plant life, botanical life, is a unique life compared to other types of life. Look at Job 38 for a moment. Job 38. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and will answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare thou if thou understandest. Who hath laid the measure?" That's the plumb line. "Therefore, if thou knowest who stretched the line," the plumb line out, this is the fact that God had everything surveyed in his plan. God did a perfect blueprint of creation in his divine decree. "Whereupon are the foundations therefore fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof?" In other words, how does our gravitational hold us where we're at in our solar, proper solar system? "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof in thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break it up by decree, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shall come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed." This is Genesis, what we just read, being lined up there. "Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, and that the wicked might be shaken out of it, as it turned to clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment? And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened upon thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadows of death? Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? Declare it, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way? Where is light dwelleth as for darkness? Where is the place that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and thou shouldest know the pass of the house thereof?" We have here creation being laid down to us in an interesting way, and man being limited in it. "Knowest thou it, because when thou wast born, or because the number of thy days is great, hast thou entered in the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of hell?" In other words, God is saying, how did I create snow? How did I create hell? What's the purpose behind them? What did happen? How did they come about? The science has identified under certain laws what God was doing into it, but they can't go back beyond the fact that God is the one who made it possible. Psalm 147, hold the place here in Job, verse 16. Psalm 147, 16. He giveth snow like wool, he scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes, he casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out the word and melteth them, and he causeth the winds to blow and the waters to flow. He showeth the words which Jacob his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. And we discover that God is the one who sets the stage. All of the atmosphere around the earth. Look at verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, his word runneth very swiftly. God has all the weather under control. They may allow Satan to interfere and bring catastrophic judgments upon the earth as hurricanes and tornadoes, droughts, floods, all these various things for judgments. But he does this for a purpose to man, to keep man within the limits. That's the overruling will of God intervening. When God removes the limitations and allows a hurricane to destroy or a tsunami, I was thinking yesterday when I was reading about the coming, where they found this dock that washed ashore down the coast down there, I think it was Oregon, and they found all these from Japan from the tsunami. They had all the different types of sea creatures, crustacean, everything upon it and things like that. And they're worried about this thing. I begin to think about how during the tribulation, things are going to be turned upside down. The botanical, dictological, sea creatures, ornithological birds, and zoological animal life. In great ways of things that are going to happen. I see how these things could be laying the groundwork for some of these judgments. Now, he goes on to say, in Job, who hath divided a water course, sorry, verse 24 I should have read, but the way of the light parteth, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth. He parts the earth and sends the winds different ways. Who hath divided a water course from the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud, the tender herb, to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath yet begotten the drops of the dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of the heavens? Who hath entered it? The waters are hid with stone, the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Look back quickly, hold the place at Job 9:9. Who maketh Articus, Orion, and Pleiades in the chambers of the south? Seven stars. Seven systems of things. See, Job had a lot of understanding of these areas that God could talk with him about. Stars. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Know thou the ordinances of the heavens? Canst thou set the dominion thereof of the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, the abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightning, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, and who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Notice the clouds are numbered. Who can stay the bottles of heaven? The dust groweth in the hardness, and the clods cleave fast together. Wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions? As he takes care of all the animal life. When the couch of their dens and the covert to lie in wait, who provided for the raven his food? Who is the young one cry out? He goes on. God is in control. All these things are based in upon fixed laws of God. When he brought about the restoration of the earth, and he brought about the botanical life there on the third day, come into the area then of the law of agriculture. The law of God decreed that seeds will reproduce. in a defined pattern of kind after kind. When a person plants an apple seed, they get an apple tree, as we saw. Establishment law. Now, we come to the fourth day, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, of heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and set forth them in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day, and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good in the evening and the morning were the fourth day. He did not create the sun and the moon on this date. On this date, he brought them into alignment with the earth for his purpose. He lined up so we have the laws of the whole concept of it, of the sun and the moon, their relationship to us, thus it relates to our gravitational pull, relates to tides upon the waters, all of these things are laws that operate under the plan of God for what he's doing. He brought them into being. He set the lights in there. He brought the earth back into a perfect alignment with the sun and the moon. The moon would reflect the sun and what we were doing. The appearance of the sun and the moon on the fourth day was not a new creation. It had been existed in connection with the pre-Adamic earth and had not been destroyed when it was made waste. The word translated made in the 16th verse is not the same as the translated created in verse 1, as we saw, and does not imply a creative act. What is meant is that the clouds broke away and permitted the sun and the moon to be seen, and that from that time they were appointed to measure the days and years and seasons we have them today. In other words, the fourth day time, in contrast with eternity, was revealed to become clear as it related to planet Earth. The relationship was brought into being by God at this point of time in there. Now look and think for a moment as we summarize and close what we've got here and what God was saying and doing. I don't want you to miss any. These are fixed laws that man cannot change. Now, God is getting ready to deal with, in verse 14, the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. God is in control of all things. God does the separating. The first of three separations is light from darkness, then sky from water in verse 7, and finally land from sea in verse 9. Only when this spatial separation was complete did God pronounce everything good in verse 10. He called the finished creation very good in verse 31. He brought us into the day. We need to reckon time as God reckoned times from the evening to the morning. It's just time. Day should start at 6 p.m. except in secular humanistic arrogance, we refuse to do it God's way. Jewish reckoning would accept this as a timetable and would reckon this accordingly, Leviticus 23:32. The issue here is the one-day cycle was completed. Since daytime closes at evening and the night ends with the morning, the phrase indicates that the first day and night had been completed. Evening and morning cannot be construed to mean an age, but only a day. Everywhere in the Pentateuch, the word day, when used as here, was a numerical adjective meaning a solar day, now calibrated at 24 hours. Now God is doing his work. And when he calls out the botanical animals of our plant life, he does it. Now God called. I want you to understand something very clearly in closing here. God called the dry land earth. The act of naming this and other parts of creation was, in accordance with the historical Semitic interpretation of history, gave evidence of his lordship. It's important to note that God does all the naming. 2 Kings 23:34. 2 Kings 23:34, and we've got to hurry here. Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim the son of Josiah king in the place of Josiah, his father, and changed his name to Jehoiakim, but he took Jehoahaz away and brought him to Egypt, and he died there. All right, we see the right of the king, that the kings give the order, the one that's in authority. God does the naming. God does the creating here, showing that Creator God rights are never under any circumstance surrendered by Almighty God. When it says that the plant life came forth after its own kind, these are fixed boundaries beyond which reproduction variations cannot go. It is impossible to know how far what God included in the concept of it is. It did family, genery, his biological classifications. God did it all because God is sovereign. God is sovereign in all his ways. We come to verse 1. God saw the great sea monster, living every creature that moves. We see something interesting. We see beautiful and perfect ecological balance brought into being. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. We thank you that you have fixed laws of creation, just as you have fixed laws of personal freedom and laws of nations, laws of marriage and laws of family. Help us to respect your divine law. It will teach us about grace. In Christ's name we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.